Well, we have a few minutes left in this divinely gathered group of believers. And I would like to share a little bit more of the anointing that we started many weeks ago, just to refresh us before we zed out the front door. We talked about what it is, where it comes from, and who it is. We talked about how the prophet Isaiah spoke about the anointing and said that it destroys the yoke. Not just stops it, but it destroys it or breaks the yoke. You can look at the yoke as anything that holds you bound, holds you down, keeps you from experiencing joy, keeps you from experiencing the fullness of the Lord in your life. And that's a really important one, because life without Jesus isn't really much of a life, but there was a time in my life when I didn't think that was true. But I'm quick to tell you now, it is true. But it's the anointing, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing on Jesus was and is the Holy Spirit. We reviewed these about Luke 4:18, when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised." And the anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And oftentimes we, in our faith walk and in Christianity, we recognize and talk about the anointing that's on certain people's lives. And some people are really good at leaping and jumping and shouting and going over two rows of chairs and all in a single bound like Superman. And I'm a little more mellow than that, although maybe I could jump over one row, I don't know. But you recognize that call and that power in a person's life, in their ministries, and even in their very lives themselves. A person can walk into a room and change the atmosphere just like that. Some for good, some not so good. But the anointing we're talking about is good. And it's the same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus and in Jesus that has indwelled us as well. So it's the Spirit that produces the anointing, if you will. And the anointing is God's Spirit and power for service. The anointing not only empowers us to live godly lives, but also helps others through us. We're not just empty vessels. We contain his presence. It's amazing how, and maybe you're more aware of it now than you had been, because I've noticed this before and shared it. You can maybe go to a gas station and be the only car there. But within 5 minutes, cars are coming in. You bring his favor. You bring his anointing. You bring his presence. You bring his blessing. You bring his prosperity. So continue to do business with local businesses. And you will see, just observe this week. I challenge you this week to observe that wherever you go. You can even just go to a restaurant or a snack bar or go get ice cream. And only three cars might be there, right, Ken? And within minutes, what happened after you got there?
All kinds of people came.
See, so this isn't fantasy world. This is real. When you bring God's presence, things change. And so that's why even at the bowling alley, I don't have to do much but show up and bowl and guard my mouth, choose the words that I speak or not to. Because sometimes it's a choice in guarding our mouths of what not to speak. And that takes great discipline sometimes. The anointing is the river of life that flows out of us. Remember, we went and read from Ezekiel the vision that he had with the angel. And that life that flows out of us brings the following fruit into the lives of others that you associate with. Mercy. We're called to show mercy because God showed us mercy. So we can't wiggle our way out of these things. Everything that God has done in us and through us and to us and provided for us, we're just the vessel that carries that to somebody else. And that's why God values every life, because he sees the potential of making himself known. And he does it through those whom his spirit inhabits. So God shows mercy. He shows his grace. These are all things that are inside of each one of us as believers. Why? Because they're representative of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness. You might remember the outrageous fits that the Pharisees threw when Jesus went to a hut or a house, and there was a man that brought, they tore the roof off the house and lowered this man down through a hole in the roof. And he laid on a mat. And one of the first things Jesus said was, "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees absolutely flipped. Only God can forgive sins. But if they had been spiritually perceptive, they would have realized that's who was in the room. And I found that very, very powerful to me, because that power has now been given to us. And that's not something to play with. It's something to, if we could just grasp the power of forgiveness, and that God has given us that, the ability and the privilege to forgive others. And Jesus said, which is easier, to pray for his healing or to forgive his sins? So he did both. He said, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and go home. It's no difference to the Lord. We believe God for our healing, for our deliverance. Well, we need to thank him every time we forgive somebody. And even Jesus, with the disciples, he said at the end of the Gospel of John, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. And whosoever sins you remit, they'll be remitted or retained. You and I have that wonderful privilege that only God had. And yet he entrusts us to extend forgiveness to others. And that's really powerful. It is more powerful almost than being saved, because if our sins weren't forgiven, then what were we saved from? And it's important for us to make sure, even unsaved people, they don't understand those things, but yet forgiveness is available. How does it happen? We forgive them. Why? Because God forgives them. Jesus' blood was already shed for them too. Salvation. The river of life that flows out of us brings the message of salvation to the lost. It brings them hope. Someone came to us at one time in our lives. Or we had a revelation and maybe nobody was present. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is wonderful at bringing the revelation of who Jesus is. And once that happens and you know by the Spirit who he is, it's hard to say no to him. Healing. Some people, you could single them out as they have an anointing to pray for the sick. And there's a partial truth in that, but the ultimate truth is we all have the anointing to pray for the sick. It's just that some exercise it more. It seems to be something that follows them. Some people are really good at doing other things, but it's the anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit that enables them to do the things they do. I love to paint, and I often thought I was anointed to paint because I can paint without getting paint places where you shouldn't get paint. And I'll just say it nicely. Faith and I had a young man that we hired to help us in our business one time, and his job was to paint baseboards in this nice, really nice house. Beautiful urethane stained wood floors. And it looked like he used a 4-inch brush to paint around the bottom of the room because it was out on the floors. And the owner was not very happy. And he called us and said, "You need to get rid of him or come back here and make it right." I've learned to paint things where you can't breathe, because if you breathe and you got a paintbrush in your hand, as soon as you take a breath, your hand moves. And Faith will verify that. She knows. And it's not just about painting window sash. It's about what if you've got nice, beautiful stained beams and a white ceiling and you're painting white paint. Well, you don't want to get any on those beams. If you use tape, what happens is the paint, before it dries, will seep behind the edges of the tape, and then you take it off and you have a nice straight line of paint all over the beams. And I've painted for most of my life. It's just something I've always done. It's a secular thing, but yet it provided our income for 13 years of our business before we got involved full-time with Renewed Life. It was just what we did. And I still love to paint for people. I just absolutely love to. I have incredible patience for that. But I find that it's like painting a tapestry in someone else's life is what the anointing does. Imagine yourselves as painters now, and God is using you to make something precious and something beautiful out of another life that you sow your life into. Painting isn't on my list. I threw that in for extra. You don't need to put that in a special offering. The anointing brings deliverance to set people free. When I think of drugs and alcohol, there's a spirit of addiction that is the operator behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. It isn't easy just to say no to those things. Because once a spirit of addiction has got a hold of your life, it's only by great willpower, to say the least, to break those things off your life, or to allow the Lord, by the power and the anointing, to take authority over that spirit of drugs, alcohol. It's a spirit of addiction, really, because people can get addicted to a lot of things. But going after things in the spiritual realm is where we can be most effective as as believers, because we carry that anointing to break those things off of people's lives. And you can start by binding. When God gives you the discernment of the spirit you're dealing with, we talked about that 2 weeks ago in Bible study, the manifestations of the spirit, one of them is discerning that spirit that you're dealing with, and then you can do something about it. And it's very effective. And showing compassion. Sometimes people just can't help the situation that they're in. There are some things I believe that only God can change. but he does it through his people. We're his representatives. And we need everything that he's given us to function in. And that's important, because how much more can God show us? How much more of his power do we need to see? What will it take? I just like to read the end of the Gospels and I see the power of his resurrection. I see the power in his salvation of a soul. I see his power every time a sick person is healed. I see his power every time a person that's been held down as a captive, as a prisoner of the enemy, set free. Whenever we free somebody through forgiveness, there's great power released, because nothing can release that person more than forgiveness. And what right do we have to hold that back from someone? Well, I'm not forgiving them. Look what they did to me. I would just say, maybe you should consider the fact that God loves that person and probably loves them more than you do. He loved them so much that he died for them. Can you not at least forgive them? To give them the opportunity to allow the Spirit of God to begin working in their lives? Unforgiveness can get a root of bitterness started. And once that happens, that person is in serious trouble. Because once you come to that place where you can't forgive or you won't forgive, then why I keep coming back to that? Just the fact that all these things that the anointing does, and it's not given just to us to benefit us, but the purpose of it is to benefit others through us. We represent the kingdom of God here. And I have some things that can hinder the anointing, but I will carry that to not next Sunday, because Don will be here with the word next week. But these are interesting things, some things that you might not have thought of about what hinders the anointing in a person's life when God really wants to release his power through you. And it's quite interesting to see how little subtle things that we might not have even thought of at the time will hinder that, or even stop it from flowing. So, in a couple weeks, I'll be back, beating on that anointing teaching. But it's revolutionary in how the impact of this, when we understand more about the Spirit that dwells within each of us and why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Why would he do that? Well, you can't live without him. Can't follow Jesus without him. Must be he's pretty important, huh?
Yep.
Yes, he is. Well, he's present. If you have need of any prayer, any healing, or anything that you need, the Lord is here to meet those needs, and he dwells within each of us.